This is Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era. Marla Frazee is the award-winning illustrator of many picture books, including Everywhere Babies by Susan Myers, Harriet, You'll Drive Me Wild by Mem Fox, Mrs. Bittlebox, Her Bad Day and What She Did About It by Linda Smith. She's also the author-illustrator of many of her own acclaimed picture books, including Santa Claus, the world's number one toy expert, Walk On, A Guide to Taking the First Step, Roller Coaster, and most recently, A Couple of Boys Have the Best Week Ever. Her books have been chosen as Best of the Year by media, including Nick Jr., Parenting, School Library Journal, and the Miami Herald. Her most recent book, A Couple of Boys Have the Best Week Ever, is based on a week her son and a friend, who's also her editor's son, spent at quote-unquote nature camp, which was a grandparent's beach house. And that book has just gotten the Boston Globe Horn Book Honor for a picture book. Marla is also an instructor of children's book illustration at the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena. So Marla, thank you for joining me. Tell me first, what do you tell your illustration students as they try to make characters come alive? Because I thought actually your website was really interesting. You talk about a lot of different tips for illustrators.
Well, I have based my class at Art Center, which is called Children's Book Illustration, in large part on the struggle I had to go through to get published. Because I came out of Art Center in 1981. I graduated with a portfolio that straddled the fence in a way between a really commercial style of illustration and children's publishing, which is what I wanted to do. So I would go to advertising agencies and show my portfolio, and they'd say, you really look like you should be doing children's publishing. And then I would take the portfolio to publishers, and they would say, you know, your work is very commercial. Maybe you should go see some advertising agency. So I was in this weird middle ground that I couldn't figure out for a really long time. And my intention was to have my work in children's books. That's what I always wanted to do. So I spent a lot of years, like 10 to 15 years, trying to figure out why my portfolio was too commercial. And when I had the opportunity to teach this class, I decided that in 14 weeks, what I would try and do is condense this 15-year period down. And I always start with a character illustration assignment, because I think that's how I access a story, is through the characters. And so what I've done with the first assignment has been really, really fun. And I've culled a bunch of phrases from books, and some I've just made up, and some I've, you know, if I'm reading a novel and there's this great description of somebody's clothes or mood or physicality, I'll just kind of write it down and put it in this random collection I have. And then I have the students pick five random phrases. And from those phrases, they have to come up with a character that embodies those words. And it's a really interesting couple-week process of looking at these random phrases, which at first seem like totally separate, disconnected things, and then design a character, or, you know, sort of embody a character that is so tied to those random phrases that you couldn't separate it anymore. And the process ends up being one of self-discovery in some ways. You know, they might access, like, either a part of themselves or somebody that they knew or love or, you know, hate. and just sort of, you know, try and find a visual way of describing those feelings. And so I think the way to get characters to come alive is really to feel them and not be generic and stereotypical, but to be as specific about details as you can be. And because if you can do that, then you're starting to tell a story.
Mm-hmm. On your website, which is marlafrazee.com, you do have a lot of information there, too, about tools of the trade for illustration. And you talk about characterization and trying to bring out the humanity of the character. So when you're doing that, I mean, How do you find that students respond to that? Do some people have a really difficult time connecting that way emotionally?
I think the difficulty is sometimes that it's very hard for sometimes for people to understand that children's telling stories for children, I should say, whether it's telling stories in words or in pictures, is not about presenting a very overly sweet, saccharine, smiley, rainbow-filled, happy face flower world. And so they think the illustration should have, bright colors and happy faces. And when you really get real with them, like, what are you trying to say here? And, you're suggesting something, but not quite. Maybe you should go all the way with this. I think the surprise to them isn't that, it's just that they didn't think children's books, would welcome this sort of information. And actually, of course, children want a full range of the world presented to them, just like we do. So I think that's where the surprise is. It's really interesting. I mean, most of the time, what the process is more like just peeling the layers of, like, almost an onion or something. You just get right, you try and get closer and closer to the center of something. And I just love, I love it. The part of my website that I think that you were referring to, that's Tools of the Trade, it was a little bit of a sarcastic title on my part, because I have I really don't like to talk about technique. When illustrators sometimes talk shop, they're like, what kind of paper do you use? And what kind of pencil is this? And I just think that's not that interesting, because it really doesn't matter. You can either tell a story with pictures or maybe you can't. And to me, it's more interesting, like, how did you tell this story? Like, is it because the characters are so interesting? Is the setting compelling? Are we feeling something because the composition is allowing us to access our emotion? Like, all those things, I think, are more the kinds of tools that I want to talk about. And so I call them the power tools, as opposed to, the pencils and paper. I mean, these are the ones we plug in to the narrative, and we really get, something communicating, hopefully. And if you can access those tools, then you're really cooking,
I think one of the things, and you see it maybe more portrayed in the text, is that people make the assumption a lot of times that children's books really aren't that sophisticated. And but that's what you're talking about, is a very sophisticated way to look at art.
Well, the thing of it is, that, and this is why I love being an illustrator of children's books so much, is that kids, even if they don't know how to read words yet, are so good at reading pictures. They are experts. I call them picture reading virtuosos. So, like, when we're drawing pictures for kids, and that's our primary audience, they're virtuosos. We are, they're going to be, we have an audience that's going to respond to our pictures in a way that is so fine-tuned to seeing anything that we choose to put in there. And if we send them down the wrong path, like if suddenly they're off on it, they're confused, or there's this story tangent that was not necessarily something that's supposed to be part of the story, it's not because they don't know how to read the pictures, it's because we as illustrators aren't doing a good enough job with the pictures. They know how to read pictures. We unfortunately can confuse them, or tell a story that is not the story that we want to tell if we're not really intentional about it. And so that's why I love working for an audience of kids. They see everything. So they're very visually sophisticated in terms of finding the narrative in a story. In fact, they will look at pictures even that might not be narrative and sort of impose a narrative on the story if it's not there. Which is why, if they're looking at even a still life that might be fairly decorative, they might look at it for meaning. Why is this vase on this table? Why are the flowers so big all of a sudden? I thought they were smaller before. Or, they're looking for something that is going to tell them a story. And so And I don't know. I mean, I think they are sophisticated, at least in that way. I can't really address, you know, all the issues that come up with children and reading words and learning how to read, which is, I think, such a confusing and sometimes frustrating process for kids. And, you know, I think one of the things that I find so inspiring, though, is that telling stories through pictures is so stress-free. And I just love to be part of that process.
And what about differences in ages? I mean, you're doing some very young things and then, you know, more text-based picture books. Does that play into it? What the age of, I mean, does text begin to stand in or take more from what you might have done for a younger audience? Does it play more of a role?
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like I'm primarily I'm a picture book author-illustrator. I like that age range, whatever that might be. I think it changes, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 8 years old. Most recently, I've also been working on the early chapter books called the Clementine series by Sarah Pennypacker, and those books, you know, are so wonderful to illustrate. I love them, but it's a different age group than I've been used to working with. And the text in that case is totally carrying the story. Like my illustrations, what I choose to illustrate does something different than what I'm doing in a picture book, which is pretty much at least half of the weight of the narrative is on the pictures. And so the balance is always different, and it kind of depends. I think with a couple of boys, the age was a little bit skewed higher. There's a certain irony about that story and a kind of interplay between the words and pictures that I think a younger child might not understand. Some books that I've done, I think, are more appropriate for a younger child, and in which case I think the pictures are carrying the weight more than the text. So it kind of depends, and I think... like I'll adjust things depending on where I think the primary audience is.
What about people? I've read that Maurice Sendak and Robert McCloskey were early inspirations for you. What about some of the other people's work that has influenced you? But also, what have you seen evolve? There's a lot of kinds of art now happening for children that weren't really there before.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much amazing work being done for kids. I love really strong drawing line in art. It's something I just love to see. So, you know, Sendak and McCloskey are two examples. I also love... Trina Schart-Hyman's work is stunning, and Chris Rydell's pen and ink, and Lewis Darling as a pen and ink illustrator in the Beverly Cleary books during, I think, the 60s definitely influenced the Clementine drawings. I long wanted to do those kind of pen and ink drawings in a chapter book, so I was so thrilled to have that opportunity. I love the Will Gets a Haircut, Will's New Cap, those books by Lena and Olaf Langström that are Swedish. Those are among my favorite books. The Carrot Seed by Ruth Krauss, illustrated by Crockett Johnson, is one of my all-time favorite books from my childhood, and I still think it influences my work today. I think when I worked on Walk On, that was a book that was in my mind. I just think some of the most poignant books and inspirational books are somehow delivered in that incredible word-picture combination that the picture book is unique for. You know, it's just like seeing hearing a text and seeing the pictures, and in that combination having a fully realized story is something that there just isn't anything else like it. You know, you kind of see it in a way with film when, you know, you're watching something and hearing something, and there's a delivery that's encompassing your senses. But somehow with a picture book where you actually control the pace of the page turn yourself, And you can hear the words if you're having it read to you, or you're reading them if it's, you know, you're sitting there yourself and you're looking at the pictures. There's just nothing like that. I think it's a magical process that I love to puzzle out as a creator of picture books, and I'd love to just be in the audience of somebody who's reading one that's working. And, you know, when they work, they're just magic.
What happens when you both write and illustrate? Do you think art first, or do you do the two together?
You know, each book that I've written and illustrated has been totally different. And the first one was Roller Coaster, and I thought of the feeling first, which was being terrified of something. And I was a really fearful kid. I was afraid to go to kindergarten, sleepaway camp. I mean, anything new, it was like, oh my gosh. And roller coasters is one of the things I was afraid to do. And so I thought of the feeling first. I thought of the example of a roller coaster second. And then I thought, well, somebody's already done that. I mean, that's just not that original of an idea. And when I went and looked, I couldn't find a book that was sort of what I thought this book might be. And so then I started writing. I sat down and I thought, okay, I'm going to write this story. And it was all full of dialogue and characters. And I thought, this wasn't the book that was sort of formed in my mind. This is so different than what I... And so then I got rid of that, and I just did thumbnail sketches of, you know, getting on a ride, being on the ride, and getting off the ride. And then I wrote to the thumbnail. So it was kind of like the pictures in that case had to come first. Santa Claus, I think, was my next book. And that was an idea I had that started with just this germ of an idea of, you know, Santa must be really... really familiar with all these toys in order to figure out what to give kids. Like, he must be really good at this. Like, he must test them. And so in the beginning, it was like Santa Claus toy tester was my premise. And I really thought about, you know, that for, I think, 7 years, honestly. And it was maybe... years later, I thought, well, that's a funny idea, Santa testing toys, but what's the point? And then I thought, well, the point is, you know, he's not so much, it's not about him being a toy tester, it's that he's a really great giver of gifts. And if you're going to give a gift, what does that require? You need to know the person you're giving it to, and you need to have sort of an idea of all the choices of gifts to give, and then if you can make that match, that's a wonderful thing. And so once I kind of got that, I felt like I had the heart of what the story was, and it was going to be about gift giving, and I had these three parts: get to know the kids, get to know the toys, match them up. And so that book came from like a structure, I think, you know, that three-part structure. And so then I started Words and Pictures together. Walk On, which is a guide to taking your first step, came because I was sitting with my laptop feeling really frustrated with my life. And I wasn't thinking of writing anything. I was just had my laptop with me. And I thought, you know, if I was to complain to somebody, they might say, take a baby step. I should just take a baby step. And then I thought, that's such a stupid phrase, take a baby step, because we assume that's easy. And I, you know, that's probably the hardest step any one of us has ever taken, the first one. I mean, geez. You know, then I started to deconstruct that process. Well, what would that mean, like, to take a baby step? And so that's where that book started. And so it came text first. And then a couple of boys, oh my gosh, that one started because my editor, Alan Johnston at Harcourt, at the time she was editor-in-chief of Harcourt Children's Books, and her son and my son had spent this week with her parents' house, at her parents' house, going to this camp. And after this wonderful week, I brought both boys back to our house, and she called me and she said, you know what would be really great is if you would write my folks a thank you note in the form of a book with pictures. And I remember it was like 100 degrees in Pasadena, and I had her boy and my three sons at home, and we were hot and bothered, and I was thinking, you know, of course I'm going to write your folks a thank you note, of course, but in the form of a book? I mean, this is... Now, she would say she didn't ask me this, but she did. And so I sat down and I wrote her folks this little goofy thank you note, and it turned out to be, you know, over many, many months of revisions and everything, I mean, it eventually became A Couple of Boys Have the Best Week Ever, which is, you know, it's an interesting, many books have come out of a personal correspondence, and I just think it's wonderful, that sort of one-on-one correspondence that ends up being a somewhat universal experience. So that's where that one came from.
And I have to say, I really like this. I found them all quite interesting. What I found interesting reading about Roller Coaster was the idea of how much research went into it and all of that. And then the Santa Claus was just so funny. And they are very sort of personal and you know, very funny and poking fun at the whole circumstance. One last question. Now, obviously, in art, as in all kinds of media, there's so many changes. What do you think the challenges are today for artists?
For artists or bookmakers or either? Well, I think, you know, one of the challenges we face is, you know, how to get the books in the hands of kids. And, I mean, I'm sure teachers, librarians, you know, parents even, would say they have the same challenge. And, like, kids are so, you know, inundated with other forms of media that are pretty, you know, easy and fun to use. And so, and it requires, you know, getting them into the bookstore and library and having books available. And so I think that, and that's a challenge. But I just feel that there's just, books have been around for such a long time, and I've watched kids with books, and I just can't imagine that there's going to be a replacement for the coziness that results from sitting with a book, and or with, you know, your parent and a book, or with your teacher and a group of kids and a book. And I just don't, those moments for me as a parent were among the most healing and, you know, inspiring and joyful and sad and happy and just every emotion I can think of we shared with books. And I don't know that there's another form of media that can do that exactly.
And I think it's important, that kind of thing is important, you know, for all of us to be aware of, but also to be keep talking about, because it is so important. So, well, thank you, Marla, very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.